Hello, this is Pastor Tom Pickens of Antelope Valley Christian Center, and you are listening to The Word of Victory.
How many of you have heard of the story about the rich man and Lazarus? How many of you have heard about that story? You have, haven't you? In the book of Luke and chapter 16, this to me is one of the most important subjects that we can discuss because it has to do with our eternal destiny. And today it just seems to me like there is such a blasé, there's such a carefree attitude about hell and about heaven. We are being influenced by the Antichrist spirit, and the Bible talks about the Antichrist and that the spirit of Antichrist is in the world today. And we have to understand that as believers, that God expects us to believe his word against the influences that are in the world. Amen. And so today we come to that subject. We come to that question, is hell real? Is there a literal hell? Is hell really real? And then some people would say that no, there is no hell, because how can a caring God have a place that is a place of torment? How can that happen? If he's really God, if he's a loving God, then how can there be a place with such torment? Why does he send people to hell? Let me say this. God has never and God never will send anyone to hell. God is doing everything that he can do to keep you from going to hell. God is standing at the door. He said, if any man knock, he says, I will open. I will come in. God is not responsible for you going to hell, but there is a literal place of hell. There is a place that you definitely want to avoid. Now, I'm sharing this with you this morning in the hope that those of you that are born again this morning, that you would understand the significance of your part in the body of Christ as far as being a vessel whereby God can use to minister to other people, because certainly and truly there are people that are in hell today that really didn't have to be there. And in the first place, hell was not made for mankind. Did you know that? God never intended that mankind would go to hell. Hell was made for the devil and what's believed to be a third of the angelic host that rebelled against God. God cast them out. Hell was made for them and not for mankind. But there is a literal hell. And I don't want you to take a carefree attitude about this subject this morning. I want you, when you leave this place, I want you to be on fire. I want you to be so excited about going and telling somebody that you don't have to go to hell and I have a solution for it. Amen. And the solution is the word of God. We have a solution for the problem that our world has engulfed itself in today. We have a solution for it, and the solution is Jesus Christ. The solution is God the Father, Jehovah God. The solution is yielding to the Holy Spirit, and God wants to use us. God wants to use you to share with your relatives. God wants you to take this word into your Jerusalem, in your backyard, in your community, and then he wants you to take it beyond there. God wants to use you as a vessel to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. But nobody wants to talk about hell today. No, nobody wants to talk about this place that is called hell. Turn it up. Nobody wants to talk about this place that so many people have awakened and to find themselves in, and they can't get out. They're there. They're there right now. And the Bible talks about the fact that hell, God has to enlarge hell in order to accommodate the people that are going there. The Bible says that wide is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto righteousness, and few there be that find it. But then it says, broad is the way and wide is the road that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in there. Now, isn't that interesting? It is interesting that here we stand at the brink of our salvation. We stand at the brink between heaven and hell, and God is offering us salvation. God is offering us a life with Christ. God is offering us freedom from hell and damnation. And we say no to that. Are you serious? Your eternal destiny is at hand. You don't need to listen to somebody that says that they believe that there are many ways that you can get to God. There is only one way, my friend, that you can get to God. There are not many ways that you can, not the God that I'm talking about. Not the God of Abraham, not the God of Isaac, not the God of Jacob, not the God of Noah, not the God of Elijah and Elisha. I'm talking about Jehovah God. There is only one way that you can get to that God, and it's through his son, Jesus Christ. It's through his son, Jesus Christ, because of his shed blood on Calvary. Don't let anybody fool you. Don't let anyone dupe you into believing that you can do good works, that you because you were born into a Christian family, that your salvation is already taken care of. Or, my friend, let me tell you something. You need to have an experience with Christ for yourself. I know your mom, I know your dad were believers. Your dad may have even been a pastor of a church, but at some point in time, you had better receive Jesus for yourself. You had better receive him for yourself so that you will know that when I die, when I leave this place, I am going to be with the Lord. Amen. Yes, hell is real. It is very real. And right now, there are people that are being tormented in flames. He said, Pastor, why would you come back from vacation and talk about such a morbid subject? I'm talking about it because I am to warn those that do not know Jesus. And I need to impress it upon you, the importance of you learning how to share this gospel with people that you are in their presence. They don't take it seriously. It is a very serious subject, because once you come to the impasse of your life, once you get to the fork in the road of your life, there is absolutely no way you can go back and then make that decision. Once you get to the fork in your life, you have to have already made that decision as to where you are going to go, either to hell or to heaven. Hell is real. In the book of Luke in chapter 16, this is a story, and I want to use this story in order to drive this nail through the board. I want you to see it. I want you to get it this morning. I want you to see that God is not sending anyone to hell, but God will permit and God will allow you to go if you want to deny his love, if you want to deny the blood that he shed for you, if you want to deny the crucifixion that he went through on the cross. God will permit and God will allow you to go to hell, but God will not send you to hell. Actually, you send yourself to hell. You're the cause of your going to hell, not God. God is doing everything to keep you out of hell. As a matter of fact, God told me something one time that just astounded me. God said, whenever one of my children is in trouble, or whenever there's an impending danger around one of my children, I am doing everything that I can to get their attention, to warn them. God is doing everything that he can do to warn you. You're going down the wrong road. Here's an amber light flashing. God puts up little amber lights in our heart and in our minds. And God just shows us things. God gives us little nudgings on the inside that's not the right thing to do. That's not the right person that you need to be with. God is doing everything that he can do to get our attention so that we don't find ourselves waking up in a situation that we wish we had never gotten into. God is a loving God. God is a good God. God is a caring God. And he's always trying to help his children. He's always, the Bible says that he has angels that are encamped around and about you. So don't blame God when things go awry. Don't blame God when you don't get what you said you wanted or what you prayed for. Don't blame God. Don't blame God because you knew that God was warning you. God was giving you an amber light. I've seen it. I've experienced it. How many of you have experienced that? In your heart, you know God is giving you a warning. You know that God said, don't go there. Don't do that. But you know what? You're so big and bad. I can do what I want to do. Yes, you can. And you will also suffer the consequences for your decisions. So don't blame God. He's never sent anyone to hell. But hell is real. And he created hell not for mankind. He created hell for the devil, Satan, Lucifer, the one that rebelled against him in heaven and caused at least the third of the angels to fall with him. That's who hell was made for. In the book of Luke in chapter 16, in verse 19, listen to this. It says there was a certain man. So this is not just some allegory. This is not, you know, just a story, a fairy tale. This is an actual occurrence. A certain man. And so it's not just a story, but this is an account that took place at that time. So he says in verse 19, there was a certain rich man. Say rich man. Now, it doesn't mean that there's something wrong with being rich, because I tell you what, it's not. If you don't want your money, bring it. I will be glad to use it. If you're rich and you don't want to be rich, I can accommodate you. He says there was a certain rich man, and he was clothed in purple and fine linen. In other words, it is letting us know that this was a person of means. Is that correct? This is a person of means. And then it says, and fine linen, faring sumptuously every day. This guy had a good life. But here's what I want you to know, that it doesn't make any difference whether you're rich or whether you're poor. If you notice one thing about these two individuals, they had the same set of circumstances facing them. They had to make a decision as to where they were going to spend eternity. The rich man and also the poor man. And it says there, he fared sumptuously every day. Verse 20 says, and a certain beggar. Now, this doesn't mean that, you know, all beggars or poor people are going to heaven, and then all rich people are going to hell. It doesn't mean that at all. Do you guys understand that?
Yes.
All right. So he says there in verse 20, it says, and a certain beggar named Lazarus was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Yea, even the dogs come to lick his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and that he was what? The beggar died, and he was carried away by. So we know that this guy is not going where? He's not going to hell, but he's going where? Because angels came to us. See, angels come and they escort you into glory to God. Hallelujah. There is no fear for the believer in death. I'm telling you, the angels, they're right there. And I mean, as soon as before you can close your eyes, good, your inner eyes are open on the other side. And the angels are standing there waiting to escort you right on into heaven. Amen. It says, and it came to pass that the beggar died, and he was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. Abraham's bosom was a place that was in the bowels of the earth. There were two compartments in the bowels of the earth at that time. It was Abraham's bosom, or it was also referred to as the place of the abode of the righteous of God. Those that had died expecting and looking for the coming of the Messiah, all the prophets of old, they were kept there in Abraham's bosom. Verse 24 says, and he cried and said, now who is crying? The rich man, he's crying. He says, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. Hell is real. This guy was burning. This guy was in hell, and he was in torment. And guess what? God is a just God. Now, there is everlasting life for the believer. Is that correct? Well, conversely, for the person that does not believe, there is everlasting torment as well. So this guy was being tormented in this flame, he says. And then it says in verse 25, but Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now here he is comforted, and thou art in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. In other words, once you go there, you don't get out. There is a gulf. There is a chasm, a great divide that was between Abraham's bosom, which was where the abode of the righteous of God went at that time, and then a place called hell. Now, hell is also referred to, as translated in the Hebrew, as Sheol. Okay, so if you see Sheol or hell, it's talking about the same place. It also means a pit or the lowest pit. And so he goes on to say there in verse 27, and he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of what? This place of torment. But Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one go to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if one rise from the dead. Isn't that interesting? That they would not even believe if one rose from the dead, that they still wouldn't believe them. I'm here to tell you today that we need to tell people that hell is real. Not too many preachers want to mention the word hell in the pulpit, but this is where we need to talk about it. And this is where you need to understand that you've got people in your home, people in your relatives, you've got distant relatives that don't know Jesus Christ. You know, when you have the family picnic, you're going to have Uncle Bubba there. You know Uncle Bubba, the one that sits over there with his hat down over his head drinking beer and wine all day. Amen, Uncle Bubba. And you know, you're going to have this one over here, old potty mouth so-and-so. All of these are your relatives. Come on now, we all have some Uncle Bubbas in our, come on, you know. And they don't want to hear it. As a matter of fact, when they see you coming, they want to go the other way. But you better tell them, they better listen to you. Because there is a flame for everybody that denies Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And God does not want you to die in a flame. I want you to know that God is waiting to answer every prayer, every desire of our hearts, if we would trust God. Amen. He will answer our prayers. He will do what he has been called to do and what we've been called to do. He will give us the strength to do that. If it's to go out and witness, then we need to go out and witness. And he's given that to all of us. But I tell you what's more important today to talk about is not whether or not we can build a big church. It's not whether or not we can have large capital of funds. It's not whether or not, we have such great faith. But it's what we do with that faith. It's telling people that Jesus Christ loves you. That's the greatest subject that we can talk about, because if we tell people that Jesus loves them, and then if we offer them salvation, then we keep them from going to a place of eternal damnation and judgment. Amen. I want this church to get so, I want us to be known like the Philippians were. They were known for their giving. I want us to be known for that's the church that if you want to get saved, you can go there. Those people that go to that church, man, I tell you what, when you see one of them, they're going to tell you about Jesus. They know why they're saved and how they can get someone else saved. And if you don't know how to do that, if you don't know how to minister Jesus Christ to somebody and snatch them out of the pit of hell, then you can learn at this church, because that's what we're about. Telling people about Jesus. Turn to someone and say, are you saved? And do you know it? If you're saved and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
If you're saved and you know it, clap your hand. If you're saved and you know it, then your life should surely show it. If you're saved and you know it, stomp your feet. Amen. I praise God that I'm saved. I thank God. Now, here's what we have to understand is that once we're saved, we need to live saved. We need to live saved, because if you are saved, if the blood of Jesus Christ has really been applied to your life, and if you've accepted that as an individual, there must be the evidence of the fruit in your life somewhere. Somewhere you're going to change. Somewhere there's going to be a significant change in your life if you have really had a genuine experience with Jesus Christ. You cannot continue to live continually. Live the same way that you lived before you accepted Jesus. Amen. The Bible says you'll know that by love.
The Word of Victory has been brought to you by Antelope Valley Christian Center, which is pastored by Dr. Tom Pickens. We are located at 304 West Lancaster Boulevard in Lancaster. For more information about Antelope Valley Christian Center, call 661-949-7200 or visit us on the web at abccusa.org.